My job as Chief Executive Officer of Liverpool Football Club is to help provide all of the resources for us to be successful in our entirety as a club, on the field, off the field. This is a long-term play. This is a strategy to build against what we already have, which is a tremendous platform for this club with a great manager, a great sporting director, a talented young squad that took the best from the Premier League last year and was unbeaten against the top six or seven clubs, and continue to build on that. This is all about improvement. This is year after year. I always refer everybody to look back, in particular at Jürgen's track record coming from Mainz and what it took to be ultimately successful in Germany with Borussia Dortmund versus the powerhouse that was Bayern Munich. It takes time, it takes patience, obviously it takes investment, but I think we are brilliantly positioned to be successful in that respect.
From your knowledge of what happens in America, what sort of expertise will you be able to bring to what Liverpool can do and bring more muscle in financially and commercially?
Yeah, I have 40 years of experience working for large companies, many of whom publicly traded, multi-billion dollar companies in senior executive positions. I understand business. I understand what it takes to motivate a team and to lead. I understand the pitfalls if you don't do things right. I also understand that you need to identify opportunities. You need to have a strategy to go after them. And it takes, in some instances, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get there. And I'm very proud of coming from a company in Electronic Arts that's been one of the most successful companies in America over the last 3 years, if certainly our stock price is anything to use as a data point. And I think that expertise, that understanding, that sense of leadership, which I know I need to do, take a little bit of the pressure off Jürgen in that respect, is what I do bring. And I can't wait to get going.
How far down the line would it be possible, naming rights-wise, for Liverpool? Not for the stadium, because I don't think that would be something that would ever be done, or maybe not even for the Kop. But we've got the Kenny Dalglish stand. Would naming rights potential for the Anfield Road stand, well, and the main stand possibly, and the training ground?
Yeah, I think that anything's possible, but this is a club that looks, and you bring up the Kenny Dalglish stand, that looks at that our history, our values, the people that have helped get us to where we are today, the global fan base that loves being involved with this club. And you need to have a balance between recognizing those icons, and in particular Kenny Dalglish as the best example right now. But this is business, and so yes, I think that as I get into the job, the ability for us to continue to drive a revenue base, which we can then in turn plow back into the squad, is important, and naming rights, sponsorship, partnerships, both local and global, are a very important part of that.
And as far as providing the funding for what's necessary out on the pitch, and we understand it's going to be a big summer for Liverpool, but it's going to be a big summer for all the teams that finished above Liverpool and a couple of the teams that finished below. So it's difficult to sort of get a complete handle on what's needed financially almost.
Well, I trust implicitly what we've been doing, not just waking up once, the Middlesbrough game was over and the final whistle and then thinking, okay, who do you need to buy? That's not how it works around here. There's a constant process of identifying talent, looking at the opportunities. And like any good business, what you do is you say, we've got a weakness here, or we need to invest there, build for the future. Football, video games, it's the same business principles of you need to look at a budget and then say, this is where we need to invest our money. And football is no different there. And again, I'll refer back to the trust that I have in Michael Edwards in consultation with Jurgen Klopp and their respective coaching and scouting staffs, that we've got that well under control.
How much does your background as a Liverpool fan, you first came to Anfield in 1959, mm-hmm. a very different place to what it is today. But your dad was a mad keen Liverpool fan.
Yep.
You grew up in pubs in Scotland Road and up in Garston. How much of that informs what you want to do for Liverpool?
I think it's about empathy. And by that I mean is that I can empathise with everybody that comes here on match day because I was one of them. And as a kid growing up, primarily in Garston, and when my dad took me to the first game in 1959, my memories are still there. So that empathy I have for the average Liverpool fan stays with me. It's part of my DNA. I can still feel being on the cop in the old days and moving 15 steps up and down, depending on what was going on the pitch, I can still feel that. And having that, I can still remember being in the boys' pen and happy I got out alive on match days. And so from that perspective, it is about empathy. But it is something that informs what I do. It doesn't sit on the top of what I do. And by that, I mean it's when I think about what we need to do here, there's a mentality that I have that I'll call fan first, which is when we make decisions, you know, what does this mean for the fans? How do we continue to bring Anfield alive, not just for the people who have the benefit of being here on match day, but like me as a fan sitting at 4 a.m. in my house in San Francisco with my red shirt on, and living and dying with every kick from 5,200 miles away. How do I, as the CEO, start to continue to bring that experience to our global fan base around the world? So I have the empathy and the experience of being a kid who grew up here and stood on the cop and then later in the paddock with my dad, and then the global fan who sets his alarm for ridiculous times in the morning but knows darn well he can't sleep anyway because he knows that there's a game on. And in my warped view, they need me. And I often say that to people, and they go, yeah, I mean, if I often think if I wasn't watching, the outcome would have been different. That sounds ridiculous, but if you're a real fan...
That's what you think, isn't it?
You do think that. It's like somebody says, why don't you record it? I think that's the most ridiculous thing ever. And I have this argument with people all the time. You can't record sports. You know, in today's world with social media, anyway, you can't escape the score. But you need to be there, living every kick. You know, I still am one of the, because I played, so one of those guys that moves when I see a tackle on the field, and many of us still do that. You go like this and jump, and that's who I am. But my point would be is that is a layer that sits within my skill sets. It doesn't dominate what I do. I have tremendous empathy because I was there, and I can see both sides of the coin. I was a lad on the cop and in the boys' pen on the paddock, and I'm a global fan who still, to this day, prior to coming here, lived and died for every kick.
So when you talk about that and listening to you, and the way you speak so passionately about it, the fact that, you know, you're in here, it's a business, and mm-hmm. you look about increasing revenue, and there are the issues of naming rights as well, but it's like as if you want to keep those true values, the core values here at Liverpool.
We have a thing called the Liverpool Way. The roots of the Liverpool Way go back to Bill Shankly and the boot room and the Bob Paisley era and everything that came out of that, which was an ethos about we do things well, we pass and move. We're in this together. We're a collective. The socialist beliefs that are core to this club about all pulling together here. Very unique and I think very different. And it's what attracted us. If you grew up here in the 60s as a kid and you know, as families, these were tough times. There were very few things you had to hang on to that you could look forward to. For all of us, it was 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon at Anfield, walking up Everton Valley, which always seemed weird to me, the Walton Breck Road, and hearing and feeling the palpable excitement of that. And it was something that still exists today. This is a wonderful city that has evolved so much over the past decades. And then I've had the pleasure of coming back into and visiting and now living back here permanently. But football is still who we are, what we do. I wandered down the road on Sunday for a pint and looking for a great pint. And I just sat in a pub and listened to the conversation. It was fat. They didn't know who I was. I was there. I was nursing a pint on my own, and I'm listening to three guys on the next table to me dissect every position for 45 minutes. It was compelling listening.
And what were they saying then?
They were doing what fans do. They're, okay, Mignolet's had a great season. You know, what are we going to do at left back? Boy, we're going to get Jordan Henderson back. Danny Ings is coming back. It feels like those were getting fresh. I mean, and I loved hearing it in a classic, all with deep Scouse accents. And it was just a wonderful moment for me. Sit there and just listen. And again, I may in the future weeks and months not be able to wander into a pub anymore incognito and just, you know, listen to those types of conversations. But that's what I came back for.
But that's what the summer brings as well, isn't it? Because obviously there's transfer speculation. Mm-hmm. So when you're listening to those conversations, is there like a little wry smile thinking, OK, I've got a list here, what are we going to do?
There's two Peter Moores. There's the fan that has his own opinions about what needs to happen, and that Peter Moore stays in a box somewhere. And then there is the Peter Moore that trusts implicitly what Michael Edwards and Jurgen Klopp and their staff are doing right now. And that Peter Moore is focused on giving them the resources they need to be able to live up to that.
Okay, so these resources, mm-hmm. Champions League football as well, mm-hmm. how much of a How much is that worth in terms of finance to what you can do?
Well, there's two things. It's obviously worth money, and that's public, but it's also worth... We become that more attractive club again. Players who want to play in Champions League. Let's not forget this is a World Cup season at the end of this year, and top players want their national team managers to see them on the big stages. And you know, we've deserved to get back. We're in the qualifiers anyway, and then hopefully into the group stages. And that is building a better platform for us to be more attractive to players. Because, you know, again, players want to play on the big stage. And Champions League football Tuesday, Wednesday nights is a really big stage.
Mike touched on it about, you know, all the other teams that you're competing with. How do you compete with those other elite clubs?
Well, it's less about competing with the other elite clubs. You have to say, what is best for Liverpool? What do we need? And again, I'll go back in business terms. You look at your business. You say, we've got opportunities to strengthen our business here. And I hate to use that because it sounds crass and commercial. But say, and then, again, go back. What do we do at a particular position? And where do we need to strengthen in that position? And what are the, you know, list of 15 players at what value we perceive that we go for? And so I think there are huge opportunities, as there are with any business, to be able to strengthen. But you've got to have this willingness to sit back and be very, very prescriptive, and also to say, we don't have rose-colored glasses on all the time. We've got a challenge here, and we've got to fix that.
Do you feel these are good times? These are good times ahead?
I feel it's a great time. When I think about the investment we continue to make, we're sat here in Anfield where we're getting a new pitch that will, I think, allow us to play a little quicker. You know, I know there was some criticism of the pitch last year. That's an old pitch that was down there, and brand new pitch coming in. I know Jurgen's excited about it and where the team could play. Obviously, we're sat in the new main stand. What a feat of civil engineering this was. And I'm a guy that's watching the webcam every morning from San Francisco saying, I don't know how they're going to do this. And came here several times and had hard hat tours to see the progress of the stand and not to miss a game. It was just spectacular here. And then everything we talked about with the future of Kirby and Melwood and what we need to do to continue to make this ultimately the next chapter of the world's greatest football story, because we have that already. But you've got to keep writing chapters.